saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Friday on The Usual Suspects, and we are happy that you are somewhere, anywhere, out there, and along for the ride. Barry is there. I am here, Dell at the station, and we are ready to fly for the next 3 hours. What is up, fellas?
Your intro sounded like the beginning of a rock and roll song.
Why?
It was like, we're happy you're there, you're here, you're anywhere, we're going to fly from here to there and everywhere.
Doesn't matter where you are, we're just here to rock.
See, Dell got it. Didn't it sound like the intro to, and it's not a bad thing, Joe. I was just like, you had me ready to throw up some devil horns and get loose.
Shout at the devil?
No? Yeah, see? Dell, didn't it kind of sound a little bit like the intro to a rock song?
Well, I was barely paying attention pulling sound, but once you described it, I was like, yeah.
Kind of does.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Is that what you call it? Pulling sound?
I don't refer to that as sound. So yes, I call it pulling sound.
Can I go home and pull some sound down?
I have never called it that before.
4 or 5 times a week, I pull sound. I'm
leftovers from Palillo, who just closed the show by wondering if we were, you know, actually not just computers because he hadn't seen us in weeks. Gee, Charlie, I wonder why. If Barry gives me a hard time, but if we were up on technology, like you should be, then you wouldn't see anybody for a reason because you'd be at home too. But since you just have an 800-pound laptop, you come into the station every day.
I don't know if he was firing shots, Joel.
This week's unnecessary shot by Joel Blank, sponsored by Guns and Ammo.
That wasn't unnecessary. I'm just saying. There's a reason.
Shot.
Charlie's a very highly intelligent guy.
I just got
to your
new billboard, by the way.
You haven't
seen us
in so long.
You should be sponsored by an ammo company. It'd be Joel Blank's weekly unnecessary shot. Sponsored by Spring Branch Guns and Ammo.
See? Pew, pew. That's your deal. Oh, see, no, watch. Charlie's already texting me. You butts.
That'll be the end of it. Just oh, did you have a good night?
Sure. No, I'm just saying. I'm fine. I mean, I said that I miss going into the station. I asked Nick. And then I did videos on SportsMap this morning with the guys, and Brandon was in the station. I was like, is it still a ghost town? And he's like, no, I mean, there's an occasion. There seems to be a few more people that are up here, you know, from time to time. But, I mean, I do. I miss seeing everybody there in between shows and everything else. Even you, Del.
Oh.
You never see me, right?
Yeah, I do. You hang around sometimes.
Yeah, it's rare. And I'm not like you, Joel. I mean, it's not that I don't miss you. I don't miss anyone.
Yeah. No, I didn't expect that either. I totally, like, if you'd have said you missed me, I'd have said that you had the coronavirus or something was wrong, like, and you had a high fever and you weren't really yourself.
You are among friends because not having to see most people is the best part of my day. Like, you mean John, Lance, or Raheel not here?
Well, that I get. Cool. That I totally get.
I like Michael Carroll. Michael's still doing his stuff here. Jose. Yeah.
Michael's still showing up every day?
Yeah, Jose on the SB Nation side still here. So I see people I like. I could do without John Lance. And then Lance came in here earlier. Wasn't great. But so
he came in?
Yeah, I think he's doing some draft stuff maybe.
Oh, of course. He just needs the facilities.
Pretty much.
Okay. Did you see that Governor Abbott, fellas, just got done with a press conference in which just pretty much like no big deal, next Friday, retail stores, everything, you're welcome to be open again.
Really?
Like, I don't know if that's – I think that's a risk.
I mean, if he's got good intel, I'm not gonna say – I'm going to assume that the governor of the fine state of Texas has more information than I do. So while you
well, I would
might,
hope so.
Might think, oh, it's too soon because people are still out there getting the Rona and not getting tested and then finding out, maybe he knows that the curve in Texas is leveled out and flattened or whatever the hot buzzwords are. And so, you know, I'm going to assume he knows. And until people start, you know, getting it left and right and we get another spike, we'll just have to go with it, I guess. I mean, you have to trust our elected officials, right? Until they give us a reason not to.
Have you heard Dan Patrick's quotes during this virus?
Look, I don't know who I think is more of a crazy person, Dan Patrick or my ex-wife. They're both pretty crazy people. That dude is a lunatic. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big fan of Governor Abbott, but I don't hate him. But Dan Patrick's a weirdo. You know, my aunt, God rest her soul, rest in peace, shout out to Aunt Diane, used to have a radio show on KSEV, which Dan Patrick owned back in the day.
I used to work there.
Did you really?
Yes.
Did you know my aunt? Did y'all bang? Did y'all bang it out once? Did you have sex with an old white lady before, Dale?
Well, God, not that particular old white lady.
Why did he go there?
Because that's who he is.
How did you escalate it to that quickly?
Because Dale's like that. He's sneaky like that. He'll go around having sex with people's aunts. That's what Dale does. Well, that's what he's known for.
She puts it out there.
Who
am I not to take it?
She shouldn't have worn that low-cut blouse.
Yes,
okay?
Hey, you can only tempt a man. You can only tempt a man so much, right?
It's radio. Oh, she's probably rolling over in her grave.
No, but
my goodness.
I did weekend stuff, so I was with the pool guy and the car guy and all those guys. Just,
did you do a show with a real estate lady?
I did not do a show with a real estate lady, no.
Do you remember the show with the real estate lady?
Well,
woman?
Well, I worked there at this point probably 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, she's been dead for longer than that.
Well, so we made a deal. We made several deals with 700 AM and 950 AM with Dan Patrick because he owned both stations. And there, you know, Dan Patrick was like Matt Thomas's dad.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
They were so close, and he basically raised Matt through the business. And you know, we negotiated contracts and got along
with
Dan
just fine.
Well, that
sucks because
I
love Matt Thomas. Dan Patrick, not so much.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden he got into politics, and I'm like, is this the same guy? And
yeah,
then I saw him, and you're like, first of all, yeah, he's still wearing magnifying glasses, and yet something is burning a hole in his brain because the things that comes out of his mouth, you're like, what's going on?
So my aunt started off doing a show called The Real Estate Almanac. She had created a book. It was actually you could buy the book, and it had information about every neighborhood in the city of Houston. So if you wanted to know how many people live there, how many foreclosures, like whatever, it was a lot of real estate agents used it, but people, you know, home investors, it was all kind of stuff, right? And she had started that book. It got really popular, and then it turned into her doing a radio show, a weekly radio show on KSEV called The Real Estate Almanac. But then I don't know what happened to her. If she, you know, hooked up with the wrong, but then she started getting into conspiracy theories. And once somebody goes down that road, the lunacy is unavoidable. Once you start believing that the government is out to get you, then there's no turning back. So she started doing that. And then, you know, of course, Dan Patrick is kind of like that, but in a different way. And so then they butted heads. And it just, they were trying to out weirdo each other, I feel like. Like they were just like, it ended badly, and then that's when I kind of got to know what kind of dude he was. So I was stunned when he won lieutenant governor because I was like, that guy's a weirdo, like to the nth degree weirdo. How on earth did he fleece people into becoming the lieutenant governor of the great state of Texas? I'll never know, but yeah, that dude's a freak.
Yeah, he's a little out there, but yeah. You know, I knew him when. And
was he weird? I mean, he was a weirdo, right?
I mean, like I said, when it was back in those days, and Dell, maybe you have different interactions with him, but I mean, just dealing rockets with him and contracts and working out stuff like that, he was pretty easy to get along with. I mean, he brought, you know, his son was a teenager that was a big Rockets fan and didn't see any of those tendencies for the most part. And then all of a sudden, I mean, once he got into politics, obviously he blew up. I mean, he got all the way to lieutenant governor, but along the way, I don't know what happened, but he definitely seems to have changed.
Yeah. Dell, was he a weirdo when you worked for him?
Well, he wasn't coming in on the weekends. I only worked the weekends. So,
yeah.
I never met him.
You, I guess you don't have to do that.
No.
You don't want to.
I know he had his own show, right? But I never, but certainly wasn't a weekend show, so I never met him.
Right. You didn't
he had
go
his
to
own show, but he didn't start
go to, like,
off
Matt Thomas' birthday and see him there or anything?
What? No. What kind of question is
that? It was a family affair at those at the station back then, wasn't it?
I was there for about 3 or 4 months during the summer, and I just remember a lot of pool talk, a lot of car talk, and some home buying and home improvement talk. No Matt Thomas mentions, and Patrick was not showing up on a Saturday.
If Alex Jones was going to be on the radio in Houston, he would be on KSEV. Fair to say? That would be the station that would run his weirdo.
If anybody can still
stuff.
Hear it.
Is it?
Oh,
really? Yeah.
I mean, those stations were, and Dell, correct me if I'm wrong, but, and maybe things have changed, but, you know, we made the deal because it was very advantageous to the team at the time, but, you know, I was also in charge of getting affiliates statewide, and it was the first time that I ever had to get an affiliate basically in Conroe because the signal was so bad in the city that anything on the north side of town, we were getting calls that people couldn't hear it. So I literally had to get a station signed up in Conroe just to get the north side of Houston.
From what I remember, I don't think I could hear it almost when I was near the station.
Really?
Which is actually kind of similar to another station I may or may not currently work at. I think it had problems depending on the time of day. Just because it wasn't a blowtorch or anything. I don't the lieutenant governor, even – I think he was that was his position at the time. But he didn't – that station wasn't very powerful. And it was just, you know, news during the and conservative talk during the week. And then if you really like a pool or a spa, tune in on Saturdays at like 8 o'clock.
I don't know what did Matt Thomas start doing over there?
Well, I mean, he brought him along just doing everything. I mean, I think that he was one of the younger guys that actually was doing a talk show. And then obviously had him covering teams. And because he then he ended up getting the PA job for the Rockets.
So he was like the sports guy there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just didn't know. What, like, he started, but he was, I guess,
well,
like,
and then I, you know,
an intern,
one of my first hires, was Jim Cozumore. Coz, part of his deal was he did the Rockets studio, and then he co-hosted a show with Matt during, I want to say, either the, I think they did mornings, and then at another time, Coz was moved to the afternoons.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So... And that's how it all got started. And then I was talking to Matt about it about a couple of years ago. And I guess, I don't know if they had a falling out, but all of a sudden they went from, like, literally so close, and then they hadn't spoken, and they were on the same flight. And Matt had sent a picture, and I went, oh, my God. And he goes, yeah, we hadn't talked in, like, years. And then all of a sudden we were just, like, catching up on, like, old times. So I was like, man, before you know it, he's going to be your dad again.
I blame Dan for any fallouts because he's the weirdo.
Okay, well you've made your point, and I'm sure now you've made a whole bunch of Republicans mad already on an FBI Friday.
Don't
so
care.
Here we go.
Save your text, weirdos.
And away we go. Weirdos have been mentioned on an FBI Friday. Also, Barry's got a comedian of the week, F for funny, on an FBI Friday. Barry, you want to fill the peeps in before we hit into the break and get his first clip out there?
Yes, indeed. Tim Williams is our comedian of the week at Tim Williams Comedy on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Tim Williams Comedy. Been in Moon Tower Comedy Fest. And I tell you what, the cool thing about Tim is I he's one of those guys you watch and you recognize immediately that, all right, anything this dude does is probably going to be funny. So I can't wait for you guys to hear the clips, and then make sure you go follow him because he's a hilarious dude.
There you go. So stay tuned for the first of three clips from Tim as we continue to roll on. It's an FBI Friday on The Usual Suspects. Just getting it going. So stay right where you are. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hello. Thank y'all for coming out. I have to get a dog. I don't want one, but I have to. Because I like going on walks through my neighborhood, and at my age, without a dog, you're not walking so much as lurking. Like, apparently it creeps people out. Little did I know, I've been the guy at the gym working out in blue jeans the whole time. It's not illegal, but it is unsettling. I just... strolling through residential areas, getting stared at by homeowners, internalizing their projections. I'm just like, yeah, I am a bad boy. That's where y'all keep y'all's kids at. Why'd y'all let me in here? Can't you see I'm dogless? I'm sans hound, baby. Just turned Hyde Park into the most unexpected DMX concert ever. Everybody asking where my dog's at.
There you go. First clip of three from Tim Williams. Barry gave you a little backstory at the end of the first segment as we have that as our comedian of the week. That good stuff right there. F is for funny on an FEF Friday. Barry, anything else you want to add to that?
Nah, that dude's funny, man. I didn't know a lot about him, and then I started seeing him pop up at different shows and different open mics and stuff like that. I thought, man, he's one of those guys, I'm telling you, where you watch him, you're like, dude, everything he thinks of, even when he just is just, you know, in the moment on stage and messing with the crowd or whatever, he's funny. So that's why I respect guys like that, because they can sit down and write stuff that's funny. They can be observational about the most minute thing, like that clip that we just ran where – you think about just walking through a neighborhood, how are you going to make that funny? And then he was able to turn that into a minute 15 of funny stuff. So, yeah, he's a funny dude. He thinks funny. He writes funny. He performs funny.
I always think of the Stephen Wright that always did real – his stand-up was – you know, he did the routine where he was always real slow speaking.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the funny stuff you'd think about, like, you know, my fish are always good to me, so I decided to give my fish a break. I put the fish bowl on a turntable and let the water swim around the fish. Dude, I was like, that's pretty good.
Stephen Wright, one of the best joke writers ever. Like, the way his thought process and the stuff that he would come up with, just absolutely elite-level joke writer.
Is that right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Elite level. Hey, somebody texted the show and when I was – making fun of Dan Patrick. They said Republicans aren't weird. They're eccentric because they're rich. I'm not making fun of Republicans. My whole family is Republican. I'm certainly not, you know, making fun of Republicans. I'm making fun of Dan Patrick because he's a weirdo. So don't lump it into something it's not. Yeah. I didn't say Republicans are weird. I said Dan Patrick is weird. That's it. Don't make
And
it
he's
not
wrong. I mean, anybody who thinks that it's okay to say that, you know what? We can afford to lose some old people, including himself, and if he has to die so that the younger generation can live on, that it's okay to open up the economy and go back to the way we were doing things is a little out there. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, who was on the show last night for you?
Chef Machete was on the show last night. The guy that
The taco guy, right?
Yeah, man. He came on the show. We chopped it up about tacos and food and how he got started. It was a really cool thing, man. I'm a big fan of his, and so I wanted to. That was part of why I'm doing these every night, is just to get folks that either I'm friends with or that I'm a fan of. So it's been cool.
That's good. That's good. I wanted to throw this out to you guys. Dell, you included. I don't know if you guys covered this on any of the shows you worked on today, Dell, but it caught my attention because we brought this up in the past. Jerry Jeudy's going to be the number one wide receiver in the NFL draft coming up next week. That's going to be taken off the board. He got a 9 on the Wonderlic.
Oof.
They said that based on how they generally grade the tests, anything less than a 10, you're borderline literate.
Damn.
But yet NFL guys say he's a great route runner. He understands the playbook. I'm like, is this someone that just doesn't care? Or is this someone that legitimately has a learning disability? I don't get it. But he had a 9.
Yeah, that's yikes. Is that the lowest? What is the lowest?
That was the lowest graded out. I mean, I know there's a list out there for all time, but
well, I tell you, if that makes people pass on him and his ability to play football, because obviously he showed he can play football at an elite level in college, they're the dummies.
No, and they said it's not going to stop any NFL team from drafting him because of his ability, and obviously if he's a great route runner, then he understands, you know, the playbooks and coaching and all those other things. It won't deter anybody, but it was the lowest of all of the results that came in. Michael Pittman had a 29. Michael Pittman had a 29. Brian Edwards had a 28. Henry Ruggs, also of Alabama, had a 20. C.D. Lamb had a 12. T. Higgins, an 11. Jerry Jeudy, a 9.
Wow. That's wild.
It says a person who scores an average of 10 and above is considered literate and therefore seen by most employers as suitable for less demanding professions, according to Wonderlic Inc.
Maybe he just doesn't test well. I don't know. I got nothing.
Or you don't care. I mean, I think that the one thing that because of the way they're having to go about their business with this pre-draft process is the fact that they said they're just constantly on their iPads doing video chats. They're constantly being interviewed. They're constantly, you know, having to do all these different things. And they get worn out too. And I'm sure that as this process continues and, you know, you do this, then do that, and all of a sudden someone says, now you got to go take your test. I'm sure there are guys that just kind of check out too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, but I mean, you know, it's coming. If you're going to be in the NFL, you know, you're going to have to take it at some point. So why they don't prepare for that? I'm sure that they prepare, but maybe they take it too lightly. Maybe, or maybe he just doesn't, you know, like I said, maybe he doesn't test well. Maybe he's just not a smart dude. Good football player, not a smart dude. That can happen.
Does it bother you that Jerry Jeudy scored a 9 on his Wonderlic, Dell?
No, because unless cornerbacks are going to, you know, put the test in front of him before he gets off the ball, then I don't really care. I mean,
he's a burner. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and he didn't seem to have any problems playing against the toughest competition in college football. So draft him in the first round, and I'm sure you'll be fine as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, and it is definitely a wide receiver deep draft. So interesting to see how it all plays out because you know that Monday is the NFL mock draft for all the teams. They're going to do a mock draft on Monday so that they can iron out all the kinks and potential snafus of doing it online.
Now, are they going to use real, like, are they going to draft real players or are they going to use, like, fake names? Like, with the first pick, Franco Harris. I mean, are they going to actually use real player names?
Well, I was wondering, too, like, because you're not going to tip your hand and you're not going to say,
I wouldn't think so.
But, yeah, I would think it's just a matter of just going through, like, the length of time you're going to be online doing this, you know, check out different things like that. Like, if they're going to be going to, you know, obviously with the television coverage, going to different people's houses to try and get those feeds. Teams are going to have to, like Bill O'Brien even said in his press conference yesterday, you know, about getting to go and communicate, you know, with his personnel people face-to-face with this or that or the other thing. I mean, it would be, you know, something that they have to iron out. But I'm glad that they're at least going to do at least one walkthrough because then everybody's going to be connected, understand what they're going to have to do and what they might be up against and facing because of the time constraints when they put the clock on you and the fact that it's going to be totally different that no one's ever done before.
Yeah, it is. It's always smart to have a dry run like that if you're doing something new like that. I mean, they've done drafts, obviously, but Not like this. Something
no,
new.
Uh-uh. So, yeah, it says the true fantasy draft of all fantasy drafts, as the NFL will do it all on Monday. They're going to do a couple of internet tests, trial runs. The league's going to have a mock draft, a mock trial run, and everybody's going to be prepared, said General Manager Detroit Lions Bob Quinn.
Okay.
And then Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, said, we're going to have some fun and make some mock trades. So, of course, they're going to treat it like a joke when it comes to what players they draft. And you're right. Maybe Franco Harris will get drafted again.
Oh, Howie Roseman's that guy in a meeting. We all want to go home, and he's raising his hand.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
I don't know. No trades, man. We just want to go home, bro. What are you doing?
Just stop, bro. We should be done in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Stop extending this. Can we all just go home? Actually, they're probably already at home. Hey, I got Ozark episode 8 of season 3 to watch. Wrap it up, Howie. No one needs to
be meeting. Howie, I got to poop, bro.
Here's
come on.
Funny thing, too. Dell's not wrong because obviously it was just a question. You could give a quick answer and then you could just move on with the rest of your press conference. He goes on to say, we have a state-of-the-art draft room, an amazing draft room. We're going to miss that. We're going to miss the contact. Before we start the draft, I like to go around and fist bump and give fives to everyone in the draft room after we make a pick, having that clapping and everyone's excited and watching the highlights together. We're going to try to do that. We're going to try to have all those things that we have there and have opportunities by what, Zoom chat?
Right.
Oh, he's definitely that guy. If he likes to, he gets off on everybody giving the high fives and cheering and watching the highlight film of someone you drafted. I hope you're watching more highlight films before you draft a guy than the one you're watching after you draft a guy.
Yeah, it's too late at that point.
Right, particularly since you're one of those teams that needs a receiver. Don't screw it up. That's what I'm here to tell you, Howie.
Uh-huh.
So, one other note on the NFL nationwide, the Quinn, the general manager of the Lions, also says he's open to trading the number 3 pick, which means, obviously, get the word out that we will take trades for Tua. So you would know, would think that teams that are thinking about moving up or needing a quarterback, that's who they're going to talk to if they want to get above 5 and 6 where the Dolphins and the Chargers are. They're going to want to move up, and then that's who they're going to be talking to. So look to see if the Lions are going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. All right, we got plenty more to get to as we roll through an FBI Friday on the usual suspects. You guys are suspects. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. Call 713-780-3776. You can also text that number. It's the HR&P listener line, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's Del V2. It's Barry is Funny. It's Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is an ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome to The Remix. It's an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Dell in for Nick. It's Barry and myself, as we'll take you all the way till 4 o'clock. And normally we save this for the pickup line in the 3 o'clock hour, but Dell's here. Dell, you're only going till 2, right?
Correct.
So you're a connoisseur. We need to get this in now. Barry never is shy about this. A couple of porn site.
Could you stop calling? I know John has made this a thing. Stop calling me a connoisseur.
A fan? A frequenter?
I'm aware. I'm just aware. I'm
oh,
aware
you're
of it.
You're porn aware. You're porn adjacent. You're
I'm not, aware. I'm aware it exists. That's all.
You're not a heavy user. You're not
no,
a addict.
I'm
you're,
not binging.
You're porn aware.
I'm not a woke.
I'm not a critic of it. I'm just aware.
Is there porn critics? Because that would be a great job.
Well, it's an art form, so I'm sure there's people who criticize it.
That would be a,
that would be a great like channel to have. Just be a porn critic.
Barry, there goes your guy that got all over you for your scouting reports about getting your hips, turning your hips.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You could use
I'm going to be a porn critic. Like, yeah, her hips not good. Not good hips. Too tight. Her hips are way too tight.
What did you guys get me on? Black Diamond has a hard time going to her left. And she's got slow hips, but scores a lot of points.
That's a good idea.
Darren Ravel tweeted this morning that a porn site says it will pay Joe Buck $1 million to announce its cam shows live. Site says it's also accepting applications from other national and local sports commentators if they want in.
Oh, wow.
Get paid as someone gets laid.
No way Joe Buck does that, right?
No way. No way. Because I don't care. Even if it's, he's making well over that working for the network, working for Fox. There is no way you risk losing that paycheck going forward to pick up a coronavirus mill.
So Darren Ravel tweeted out, thing, right? It says a porn yes. site says it'll pay Joe Buck $1 million to announce yes. his cam shows yes. live. I know. I'm getting to the okay. rest of it. Okay. And then Joe Buck sees the tweet and responds to it. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah. So Joe Buck quote tweets Darren Ravel's about the $1 million and says, depending on the site, they could just be handing some of my money back to me. So I'll hold out for a better offer and try to hold on to my day job, but I have to say I'm flattered. That's pretty awesome.
Wow, Joe Buck.
Yeah, shout out to Christian Alonso for sending me that because I don't follow Joe Buck on Twitter, but that's a great response to something that, you know, is being funny. It's being floated around as funny stuff. And
right.
And Joe doesn't take himself too serious, and I don't think he ever has. Some people don't like him.
Oh, he's taking his hair too seriously.
Oh yeah, but you gotta love when you see stuff like that. That's pretty great.
That's awesome. Yeah, because as I've said before on the show, he's obsessed with his hair, and almost died with all the different things, the transplants and surgeries and things that he was having on his hair.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's a big.
How do you die from hair transplant surgery?
I don't know if it was something with surgery or something like that, but he said he was obsessed with it.
That's
now, I also saw this, and again, because we got it on one of our rundowns, but whether it's completely true or not, I don't know if this is a thing, but they said Pornhub started a new site that's basically all people washing their hands and techniques and videos washing their hands. Is that a thing?
Say again?
Pornhub has started a site in which it's all videos of people washing their hands and the technique, the way they use, how they use to wash their hands.
I had no idea that was a thing. No clue.
So we've already talked about foot fetishes on this show, but if washing your hands is a thing, I'm out of touch with the real world. I'm like, really? And I kept checking the site's legitimacy, but it was there. And I'm going, man, it just, I don't know, weird.
So you did check the site, huh?
Yeah.
Pornhub site?
As bad as, no, not that.
How long were you checking on the site?
Yeah.
I was talking about the site that dropped the news that the Pornhub has a site, not the actual Pornhub site. Mm-hmm. Slow your roll.
I feel like you were out there.
You're a connoisseur. In order to be a connoisseur, don't deflect. You need
don't start deflecting.
You already came at me, and now it's your turn.
Don't stir it up like you
I feel like you were like.
Every time Barry uses "I feel like," it means he's going to stir it up.
That's not true.
It is true.
I feel like Joel was like, "Let's go see what this is about." 30 minutes later. Lisa walks by. Oh my God! Pull your pants up, Joel. What are you doing? He's like, I don't know. It just got out of hand.
He just ran out to buy.
Who's got a dad joke?
He just ran out to buy some Dial, some Dove.
Yeah, he
some
did.
Suave. He was like, you just trying out hand washing techniques.
Now, see, a germaphobe like me, that I would get off to that. Be like, yeah, baby, wash those hands. You get clean for daddy. You just get clean for daddy right now. Just clean it. Do that Turkish twist. Do that Turkish twist. Google it, Dell.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it.
You asked for it, Dell.
Do you know how many people out there right now are Googling the Turkish twist? I don't even think that's the real name of it. I was watching Dr. Oz was teaching somebody how to wash their hands. And he said, okay, so like first thing you do is obviously you put soap on there, get the water hot. And you know, you rub your palms together, do the outside, the back of your hands, rub your, put your finger, interlock your fingers and rub them up and down briskly. See, this is turning you on, Joel. And then, and then you kind of almost like you make a chain, like you put your fingers, the tips of your fingers in where your fingers, where the base of your finger meets your palm, you kind of touch those and then you twist back and forth. And that's how you scrub the insides of your fingers. I think he called it the Turkish twist. I'm not sure.
Is this before or after he suggested some of your kids can die?
So I was just going to say, you think Dan Patrick's weird, and you mentioned Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz said they should reopen schools because we're only going to lose about 2 to 3% of people that could die if we do.
Well, but if okay, in his defense, it depends on who the 2 or 3% are.
Boy,
you think the coronavirus has that type of selective skill? Like, it you're would be good a terrible person, so you get to go.
It would be good if it did. It really would. I mean,
and as most people are pointing out, Oprah, come get your boys. All these two doctors who, well, Dr. Phil's not even a real doctor anymore. He can't even practice. And he was a doctor of psychology, not medicine. But come get your boys, Oprah.
Yeah. It's not so good for Team Oprah.
Pornhub.
They're kind of out of their mind right now.
So the site is ScrubHub.
Shut up.
It's a parody site brought to you by Pornhub in which all of the videos have something to do with washing your hands.
What's it? Is it? It's not ScrubHub.com because I'm on that, and that sells scrubs for nurses and doctors. So I mean, the chick on the front, she's all right, but I will certainly send this to my wife so she can buy new scrubs. I will do that, but this is not what you said it was.
Well, I'm looking at it from three different articles. Well, I don't know if it's scrubhub.com, but it says, from the minds behind Amazon Dating and Pornhub, creates the Pornhub creates ScrubHub, a safe-for-work parody site that advocates for hand-washing and shows videos. ScrubHub has a collection of satirical hand-washing videos featuring both everyday people and Pornhub models like Asia Akira.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We'll also feature live twice daily, 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. with musicians, comedians, and the like.
So ScrubHub.tv.
Yeah.
Yep,
all you had to do was click the link, Joel, and you could have given out the right URL
I just
to
did.
People.
Okay, Barry. It's Friday. Boy. Thank God I get 2 days without you after this.
Because
Fridays you always get this
is
way.
Hot. Oh, yeah, baby. Do that Turkish twist. You do that. You get those. You get the tips of those fingers clean. Just the tips, though. Just the tips.
Boy.
What?
See, Dell?
That's your boy. Don't
wait. There's somebody washing their hands in a big old pot. What is that for? That's weird. There's somebody putting hand sanitizer on gloves. That's weird. There's some weird fetishes on this site. It does look like Pornhub, though. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh, this is oddly familiar.
It's not that odd. It's not that odd for you, Barry.
No,
it's not that oddly
familiar.
They even
have a category section, which is strange. But it looks like it's all the Pornhub categories.
How many times on the news can we get different people giving you the simplest of like how-to videos? How to wash your hands. Now the big thing is how to take off the gloves, the sanitary gloves you're wearing when you go to the store or whatever. And I've seen it like five different times from different doctors and all these different people. It's like, if you aren't smart enough to figure out how to take off your gloves, I saw one of the guys that used to be one of the highest rated doctors in the United States. Like, he puts the gloves on and he's like, don't do this. And then he's like rubbing his eyes under his glasses and then grabbing his nostrils. And I'm like, okay. I mean,
you go finger inside the glove and pull it out.
Yeah.
It's sexy,
from the
bro.
Wrist. Yeah. Okay. Evidently you're still on the site.
This is great. The different thumbnails for they have like all the categories. So they have babysitter, BDSM, casting couch. Some of these you can't say on air. but they literally have all the categories. So I was like, all right, let's see what babysitter hand scrub hub babysitter is. It's just it's a babysitter washing her hands at the sink. So fear not, it won't actually take you to real porn. Or disappointingly, however you look at it.
There you go. And it's a Friday on the Usual Suspects. It means Barry's fired up, and we've got plenty of fun stuff that we are going to get into between now and the end of the show as we continue to roll forward. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, you can call it, number, text it, number, hit us on Twitter. Lots more to get to. David Johnson has spoken today, a day after Bill O'Brien held his Zoom press conference that everybody was talking about. Lots more things, and of course, whatever your is on your mind, you want to get off your chest, we're here for you right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show on an FEAF Friday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry Dell and myself, Joel, as we cover a lot of different things, including last segment where we got a little bit off the rails for you.
Had got a little... sexy.
Yeah. So did you see David Johnson's comments today, Barry?
I saw some of them, yes.
I mean, is there anything, if you're a Texans fan, that just ran, you know, kind of gets you intrigued enough to go, you know what, I'm going to hold out hope. I really hope this guy does well, because to me, I don't care what the guy says. And I hope he has a chip on his shoulder. And I hope he has a lot to prove. And I hope he wants to come in here, you know, and get back to his old form. But you can have all the hopes and dreams in the world and never achieve them. I don't see it. I don't think anybody else is going to be excited about any of it because of the fact that it cost you DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, the telling thing is he's, you know, in his comments, he's like, oh, I'm excited. I love the Texans. They're great. Yeah. You know, no one ever gets traded to a team and goes, damn it. I don't want to be here. You're going to get your check. Not sure that you're earning it, but the one thing that he said, I think last season was just rough, had little nicks and bruises, nothing major. That's the concern, because that's Will Fuller just in a different position.
Yeah, and then saying that Kingsbury was going to go with the hot hand, so he was the odd man out. It was a tough situation to bounce back from that, he said. It's a new team. I'm excited. Well, here's my problem. Why weren't you the hot hand when everybody knows what you're making, and we knew what you used to be? But the fact that not just one, but two different guys – got the ball more and were the hot hand while you were pushed to the wayside. I mean, there's got to be something more to it than hot hand. You have to be effective when you get your shot.
I mean, when you put it that way, it makes me think of the trade in this perspective. So we've been saying that, oh, Bill O'Brien was dumb and traded DeAndre Hopkins for the 40th pick in the draft and David Johnson, who is nowhere near what he was in 2016. But I could say the same thing and say that Bill O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins for the 40th pick in the draft and the Arizona Cardinals' third-string running back, who you're paying $11 million to. And that sounds way worse, but that is also the reality of it, is that dude was third on the depth charts for the Arizona Cardinals. That tells you the limited abilities that he displayed last year. Now, does that mean he can't get back to 2016? No, he could. I just think that the possibilities are slim. Could he? Yes. And I hope we're all wrong, and I hope he rushes for 1,500 yards next year. Not going to happen, but it would be great. It'd be great if he had 1,500 all-purpose yards, not just rushing. I'd be super stoked about that. But I just don't think that it's going to happen. But if it does, great. But when you look at it in that perspective, it almost makes me feel even worse to say that, oh, you gave up DeAndre Hopkins for a second-round pick and the third-best running back on a bad football team. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't just Kenyon Drake. I mean, everybody was like, oh, well, you know, Kenyon Drake, and he got the big contract now in the offseason with the Cardinals. I get it. But he wasn't even second. That's the problem. I mean – that says more about David Johnson than it says about falling out of favor with Cliff Kingsbury, which is the thing that most Texans fans need to be concerned about. Because the other thing is for all these pleas that Bill O'Brien is making, and by the way, kudos to Bill O'Brien for at least not going completely, you know, off the rails in the tank and being a little softy, let's just put it that way. But he actually, for him to say the media have a job to do and their job is to evaluate things immediately, good and bad, and I respect what they do. Shocked to hear that, but glad he said that, because then he wanted the fan base and everybody else to hold out, whether it be a year, as he mentioned, 2 years or 3 years, but let it play out. To me, the way he's setting it up in all of his quotes about how excited he is about David Johnson and everything about David Johnson, I don't think it's going to be a 2 or 3 year deal. I think he either David Johnson's going to perform this year and he's going to be able to say, see, I told you so to some degree, or after 1 year of David Johnson, if it fails miserably, I've seen enough.
You think that's going to be the case?
Of course, with Cal McNair, no. I mean, I just – Dell, you guys had on this morning the writer – was it Silva?
Evan Silva.
Evan Silva, who just did – he's got a podcast. He just did a whole expose and all this research on Bill O'Brien and the fact that wherever he's been, he's just kind of he's been at the right place at the right time. He hasn't done anything as a coordinator from Georgia Tech and Duke and every place he's gone. But – you know, because of circumstance, and like he was in New England when Josh McDaniels left and they elevated somebody and he got the job. And after 1 year in New England, he was getting head coaching opportunities. He just said, it's just crazy how Bill O'Brien has done more with less in terms of ability and everything else and has the attitude. But the other thing that he was quick to point out was the fact that he's trying to do research at the same time on Cal McNair, and what he found out was his dad was a rich guy. That's about all he can find out. So he's like, there's not much on him. But one thing we do know is Cal's not going to do anything if he doesn't have to. So I really don't know if 1 year would be enough. For everybody else, it's already enough. And if Bill's pleading for time, the longest I'd give him is one more year. But I don't know what, you know, you asked the question, Barry. I don't think Cal's going to pull the trigger on anything that gets rid of Bill O'Brien.
No, I don't think so either. I think, and again, at the end of it, it comes down to how does it affect the value and the worth of the team? And if people start to lose their desire,
paying interest.
Lose their desire to go see this team, which is unlikely in this city, but possible because it's happened before. Because I think in the heyday of the Love You Blue Oilers, if you would have told people that, oh, the fans will go away, they wouldn't have believed you, because it was just the greatest thing ever when Bum Phillips and the Oilers came back and, you know, next year we're going to kick that sumbitch in, when he was talking about the door and all that. That's great. Yeah. So I think it could happen, but I just think that the way that the NFL is structured, it is, it's almost like you're too invested to walk away because of the PSLs and everything else. So I agree with you. I don't think it would happen, but if it really starts affecting the bottom line, then I think absolutely he would be gone. They just won't, unfortunately.
Yeah, he just, and that's the thing to me, because they brought up a lot of points that you and I have talked about in the last couple of weeks on this show. And one of the ones that, and again, it's great to hear people from the outside that aren't in Houston, that aren't already conditioned to all the Bill O'Brienisms that he's gone through and pulled on us since he's been in this town. But for him to basically question why he's so arrogant and why he's got such, the attitude and is so rude to people when he hasn't won like Belichick is something that we've talked about. And then, you know, just talking about how he got to where he got and then why he hasn't been removed already based on what he's done is just amazing, that everybody's catching on to what we've already said. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, as long as you're right, as long as Cal's at the helm, the guy, he even said, I don't get it why an owner doesn't pull the plug and say when Bill, because you and I both talked about, the trade had to be brought to the ownership before you trade a franchise-type receiver like Hopkins. And he
signed
completely
off
beside himself going, how do you sign off on that deal? Granato was all over it too, and it, as well they should. I just I wish someone could give us some explanation on something like that.
Well, my doubts are going to get it.
Evidently, based on how they've handled press conferences to this point, we're not getting it. We know that for sure. All right, Dell, have a great weekend. We appreciate you. Is Aaron Raybould coming?
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Is it Aaron Raybould?
Aaron Raybould is next.
All right, Aaron Raybould coming in for Dell as we give you the next 2 hours of the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two around the corner, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.